البيان راديو presents the following special presentation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters and welcome to البيان live. I am Abu Abdurrahman and I welcome our listeners on 107.9 FM in Sydney and all our listeners listening on our apps and online wherever they may be in the world. I'm very happy to have my dear brother Naseem Abdi with me in the studio. السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
How's it feel being back live in البيان radio?
Alhamdulillah, it's always a pleasure and always brings back some great and funny memories.
It's good to have you back with us. First time since Ramadan, you've been on live.
Yes, subhanAllah. It feels like a long time, subhanAllah.
Your program, weekly program is on there every Saturday night at 9 PM.
Yeah, Journey to the Hereafter. Well, it's an exciting series for myself. The book is tabarakAllah amazing by Sheikh Mahmoud Al-Misri. And so obviously, yani, if we're able to alhamdulillah do what we can to try and take it from the Arabic and put it into the English nice and simple.
Now, brother Naseem, we have a monster topic, very important topic.
Definitely.
Da'wah.
100%.
Firstly, what is da'wah?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. This is one, alhamdulillah, yani most Muslims are exposed to the word da'wah and they've heard it around da'wah. In English, it's, you know, you call it preaching or propagating the religion or spreading the religion or calling to the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, calling to the path of Islam. Da'wah in Arabic, yani da'wah comes from the word da'wah. Da'wah means to call. Da'wah means to call. So when you da'wah or da'wah in the Islamic term, means to call to the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So in brief, da'wah is you as an individual calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, shape or form that might be, as long as it's a halal way, whether it's you verbalizing, you know, calling people to the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, whether it's you writing and publishing, whether it's you, it's even sometimes it could be a Facebook post. Sometimes it could be simply your actions. Your actions may be a form of da'wah. You know, you're trying to uphold the best of character while looking like a Muslim so that people have a good thoughts about Muslims and good thoughts about Islam, and they see the character of Islam shine through you as a Muslim. All of these are forms of da'wah, you calling to the way of Allah Azza wa Jal in any way, shape or form, which is halal.
So, subhanAllah al-Azim, I'm sure we're going to talk about it more later. The avenues and platforms of the da'wah are very wide today. There's a lot of platforms that we can give da'wah, isn't there?
And 100% correct. And this is where Muslims today really need to, they really need to go and make sure they use all of these new ways, whether it's technology, whether it's advancements in dunya means, to spread the da'wah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the olden days, even though subhanAllah in many ways they were much better than ours, the da'wah was very limited in what you could do. Yani it's either you say and people hear.
So the means were limited.
The means were hard. Either you speak and people hear, or you write a book and inshallah it gets published. And you got to remember, writing books back then, the only way it was to be copied was via people handwriting and nusakh. They used to sit there and copy your book, and then you'd have to go from here to there. And then even if you wanted to travel to somewhere to give da'wah, it might mean, yani, for a trip to, for example, yani, from the Middle East to Asia, it could take you months to get there. Yani today's day, subhanAllah, da'wah has become so easy to give, which is, yani, we'll speak about, it could be dangerous to a certain perspective, but to a certain degree, but for many people, alhamdulillah, the da'wah is available, whether you're speaking to people, whether you're sending messages on your phone, through social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, which I don't recommend, but Twitter, etc. So many means a person can give da'wah. For you to, for example, travel to give da'wah, you're qualified, you can go to the furthest parts of the world in less than a day, and alhamdulillah, pretty much comfort and ease. So there's so much opportunities for a person to give da'wah. And as Muslims, we really need to take advantage of that, because that equates to benefiting from your time in this dunya to bettering your hereafter when we get there.
Now, what's so important about da'wah? What's so important about calling others to Islam, showing others Islam, what it is to be a Muslim, what it is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah alone and to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what's so important about it?
I'll start with the flip side. So sometimes when you want to learn the danger of something or how critical something is, you look at if it was taken away from something, what would the effect be? So let's just say, for example, food. Food's very important. Why? Because if you don't have food, you're going to die.
You're going to starve.
Okay? Oxygen's very important. Why? Because if no oxygen, you're going to suffocate. This is one way of knowing how important something is to the individual. Da'wah is so important because it has very severe consequences if it's left. And we have, in brief, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that a person, a whole people could be punished. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, was asked, And what about the people who are righteous from amongst those people? Yani all of this haram is committed and these people will get punished. What about the righteous one from amongst them? Do they also get punished? The Prophet ﷺ replied to the meaning in English. Yes, if they, because they did not forbid the evil. So it could be you not giving da'wah, not forbidding the evil, a means for the other people to be punished and you be to be punished with them. Mm. It could be a means, and this is a massive one, of du'a not being accepted. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily you will enjoin the good, and verily you will forbid the evil. And if you don't, Allah will send upon you a punishment to the extent that you will make du'a to him and he will not accept your du'a.
That's severe. Yeah,
these are really severe consequences. And if you look at our lives as Muslims and you look at sometimes the punishments, even though there might be righteous people, but why is the punishment, you know, taking over all? Maybe we're not doing the da'wah that we're meant to be doing. Why are we making du'a to Allah Azza wa Jal and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not accepting our du'a? It could be that maybe we're not doing the da'wah which we're meant to be doing, hence our du'a is not accepted. And these and amongst many other things, are very dangerous. It could even be our own responsibility, as in it's an obligation. It's an obligation for us to give da'wah. And so if we don't give da'wah, we're committing a major sin, especially for those who we're directly responsible for. Like, for example, the father for his, or the husband for his wife and children, the mother for her children, people in looking after their flock, as the Prophet ﷺ described, every single one of you is a shepherd, and every shepherd is responsible for his flock. If you're not giving them da'wah and you're not, you know, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil for them, you're not performing your responsibility, and so you're committing a sin, and it could be a major or a minor sin. Either way, you're going to have to deal with that on the Day of Judgment. So that's one perspective of da'wah, which is the consequences, and there's many more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us and all the Muslims yani, from those consequences and any other harm. Then yani, from the perspective of a person. His role. Our role in life, we know, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we were created. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, I have not created them, a jinn nor mankind, except that they worship me. This is the whole reason you're created.
So all mankind is here to worship Allah.
All of mankind.
So if mankind forgets about this, it's our role to remind them, isn't it?
It's our role, it's our job, it's our responsibility to remind them. And this is, yani, this is part of you being a good person. You know, just imagine, there's a puddle of water, okay? And there's a person walking down the street and is about to step into that puddle of water. If you're a good person, what's the first thing that you do? You say, well, sir, madam, you know, there's a puddle of water, don't step in it. First thing, you know, you're walking and you see, you know, rubbish on your neighbor's lawn. If you're a good person, you pick that rubbish up and you put it in the bin. If you're a good person, Dave, these are good things, yes, no problem. But these are just dunya. This is... It's got any significance that you're helping a fellow human being, but you're the greater help that you need and that person needs, and that is the whole reason they were created, is that they know Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the whole reason they're there on earth, to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And there's still people on earth today. Unfortunately, if you ask them, why were you created? Why are you here for? They'll tell you, I don't know. So it's your job to help these people. It's your responsibility to the best of your ability to help these people. Because you're taking them from that misguidance that they're in, from the darkness that they're in, and you're showing them the right way, the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, the way of salvation, the only way which they will achieve success in this world and the hereafter.
Jazakallah khair, Brother Naseem. Now we are live on this Wednesday evening with our dear Brother Naseem, and we are discussing the importance of da'wah, calling others to Islam. We welcome our listeners on 107.9 FM in Sydney. We will inshallah be on 107.9 FM until the 10th of October. We spoke about what is da'wah. We spoke about the importance of da'wah. Now the virtues of da'wah must be great. So what are the virtues of da'wah, Brother Naseem?
One of the most beautiful things about our religion, Akhi Nidal and dear listeners, is that Allah Azza wa Jal has not taught us do things only. He said do things, and he's given us so many virtues and specific rewards for these deeds and showing the importance. Also, you have the religion just doesn't just tell us don't do this. It gives us many a time reasons, and it gives us what would be the punishment and the ending of a person who commits falls into those sins. As for the virtues of da'wah, and these are things really that should inspire a person to want to give da'wah and to want to work for da'wah. Firstly and foremost, you're created and to worship Allah, and alhamdulillah, you're a Muslim, And as Muslims, we know that Islam, the Muslims are the best of nations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us why. Allah tells us why we are the best of nations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are the best of nations ever to rise up from mankind. Why, ya Allah? Because you enjoin the good and you forbid the evil and you believe in Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us why we are the best of nations. Because we give da'wah. Because our religion is not simply a religion which deals with you and Allah only. Yani you pray, you fast, you read your Quran, you make your dua, and that's it. Mind your own business. Don't worry about anyone else. No. Our duty as Muslims is to try and spread this beautiful religion, not just for ourselves. We're not selfish. We have this goodness for ourselves, and we try and spread it to others. So this is yani, the reason we're considered to be from the best of nations, because of our da'wah and in our belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. Then you also have the fact that you're following in the footsteps of the best of creation. So the best of creation are the prophets. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam, all of these great prophets that came before us. What was their job? Their job was to go and to give da'wah.
So Jesus alayhi salam called others to worship Allah alone, to prostrate to Allah alone.
Jesus alayhi salam, even though he was on earth for a very short time in terms of prophethood, his job was to call people to La ilaha illallah. From when he was a baby, his job was to call people to La ilaha illallah. Allah gave him the ability to speak, and he told them, worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Imagine the blessings and the roles and the place of these people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is their job. This is their job. Their job is to preach the truth to people and call them to Islam. So when you're giving da'wah, you're actually following in the footsteps of the Anbiya. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. Why? Because they learn the religion and they preach the religion. They're doing the job of the prophets. And if you look at any person, sometimes if they want to honor their parents, they do the same job. You know, I'm doing the same business. Or if you really love someone, you want to be like them, even the job that they do. And you love a soccer star, you want to play soccer like him and do everything like him. And our role models and the ones that we love the most are the Anbiya, especially Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what was his job? His job was to call people to Islam. So when you give da'wah, you're actually following in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On top of many other ones, but I'll just mention one more virtue, which is very important for us and should really push us. Everyone that does good because of you, you get their reward. Okay, so this is an investment for you. We know that in this life, we're here to worship Allah. We know that we'll pass away. And we know that in the hereafter, we're not going to be benefited with anything except good deeds. That's the only thing that's going to benefit pretty much. Of course, we have the shafa'a of the Prophet ﷺ, etc. But generally speaking, you have your good deeds and that's what's going to benefit you. So the more good deeds you're able to get, the better. Now, how much good deeds can you do as an individual a day? Okay, you pray, you fast, you read Quran, you give charity, you have good akhlaq, etc. But at the end of the day, you're only one person. Through da'wah, you have the opportunity to get the rewards of tens of people, sometimes hundreds, sometimes thousands. Because the Prophet ﷺ told us that the one who calls others to good deeds is like that person. So if you're getting, hypothetically, 1,000 rewards a day for praying, and you told another person to pray, and they started praying because of you, that's 2,000 rewards. A third person, 3,000. And you're doing absolutely nothing. You're just sitting at home, or you're just living your own life, and all these people are benefiting from you. And this obviously is something else the Prophet ﷺ said, benefits a person after death, beneficial knowledge that they passed on. So you learn, you preach, someone else implemented, someone else benefited, you're getting those rewards. And these are the rewards that you need to be successful in the dunya and the hereafter. And the rewards that will help you get to higher places in paradise.
JazakAllah khair, brother Naseem. We're going to go to our first break for tonight on Bayan Live. And we'll come back for more on this critical topic, the importance of da'wah, live on Bayan Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. حن قلبي للمدينة لرسول الله فاقتفى القلب حنينا طالبا لقيا يا طيبة الأنوار لي شوق تبعت هدى يا طيبة الأنوار لي شوق تبعت هدى شوق تبعت هدى ارتقى
للمعالي والخطى ازدادت حنينا إذ تراءت كالخيال روضة الهادي نبينا
التقينا
للمعالي والخطى ازدادت حنينا
إذ تراءت
كالخيال مدينة
حن قلبي للمدينة لرسول الله فاقتفى القلب حنينا طالبا لقيا
يا طيبة الأنوار لي شوق تبعته
شوق تبعت هدى
يا رسولا جاء يبغي رحمة للعالمين في يديه نور فجر يغمر المعتم فينا
يا رسولا
جاء يبغي رحمة
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to Al Bayan Live. We are live on 107.9 FM in Sydney on the school night, currently 16 degrees. And I'm joined by my dear brother, Naseem Abdi. I am Abu Abdurrahman. And you can call in on 9740-6160. You can tell us about your experiences in Dawah. What are some tips you would give to call others to Islam? Some experiences you've had, positive experiences or even negative ones. Maybe we can learn from it together. Call in 9740-6160. If you're out of Sydney, add the area code 02-9740-6160. If you'd like to leave your comments, feedback and suggestion, you can on our Facebook, Twitter and Instagram pages, Al Bayan Radio. Now, brother Naseem, before the break, we spoke about the importance of Dawah. What is Dawah? The virtues of Dawah. Now, there has to be some preconditions. Not everyone can just stand up and talk and not know what he's talking about. Are there some preconditions for Dawah?
Yeah, 100%. 100% there are some preconditions for Dawah. And like you said, look, it's a lot of people, they intend to do a lot of good, but sometimes they do harm, more harm than good, the good that was intended. Or sometimes they want to do good, but because they don't know how to do that good, they end up making a lot of mistakes in it. There is a massive precondition for giving Dawah, and that's alam. That's alam. Okay? A person needs to have knowledge. And if you look at any of the books of the ulama from before, and even before the books of the ulama, the Quran, the Prophet Allah SWT said to the Prophet in the Quran, فَعَلَمْ أَنُّهُ لَا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Know that there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah. So there needs to be knowledge, pre-knowledge of what you're talking about. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to be a scholar, but at least what you're talking about, you're sure of it. You're 100% sure of it. So there's certain topics that a person, it's better not to get into because they might have a question mark on or he might not be sure of the correct answer. A person shouldn't think that he's doing the right thing. He knows the truth and that's what he's going to go and preach it to others. A person should know what he's saying And even Al-Bukhari has a beautiful chapter in his Sahih called knowledge before speaking and actions. Knowledge, so you need to have knowledge before you do anything, even upon your own self. Now, when we speak of da'wah, just to make it easier, let's split it up into two types. There's your general da'wah, everyday da'wah that everyone can give. These are the things that are in Islam which are clear cut.
Amongst family and friends and work.
Amongst your family, your friends.
Out on the public.
For example, you see someone drinking alcohol or you know someone that they gamble. Obviously, this is where you can come in and you can tell them, look, akhi, I'm not a sheikh, but you don't need to be to give da'wah. But honestly, gambling's not right. You know your money's not going to be halal. You know that it's going to make you depressed and it's going to take out the barakah from your life, etc. This is general. Everyone can do this. You're a sister, for example, her sister doesn't wear hijab. She can go, look, why aren't you wearing hijab? What's the point in you not wearing it? Don't you believe in Allah? Don't you believe Islam is correct? Don't you know that hijab is an obligation, etc.? So this everyone can do, about praying and being good to your parents. Everyone's able to do this. Then if you want more specific da'wah, so you want to get more into things like khutab, or you want to speak about certain topics in the religion, definitely this needs to be, you need to study the religion with those who are qualified, and then when you have the information given from them, then you can go yourself and give those. So definitely the precondition is knowledge, for you to have that knowledge. And many of the ulama also said that if you want to give da'wah, make sure that you're implementing it first, because you don't want to fall into the mistakes that other people made, which is, they would tell people to do the right thing and they themselves would do the wrong thing. So, you need to do your best to work on yourself, to try your best yourself to be on the right path and implement what you preach.
So basically we can say, we can add attention to it. Make sure when you're calling, make sure you're sincere. You're doing it for the sake of Allah. You want good for the person. Make sure you know what you're calling to, have knowledge about it, and make sure you're implementing the knowledge that you have. So these are some preconditions there. Barakallahu feek, Brother Nasim. Now, I believe one of the most important questions when discussing da'wah is how to give da'wah. Sometimes we're too harsh. Sometimes we're too soft. Sometimes we're too loud. Sometimes we're too quiet. How should we give da'wah? How should we present da'wah?
The first and main point, and you mentioned it on the preconditions, and it enters the preconditions and it enters the hell, is sincerity. We need to understand that giving da'wah is is one of the greatest acts of worship a person can do. So with any other act of worship, big or small, the intention needs to be to please Allah Azza wa Jal and to want to fulfill an obligation or to do a good deed, to please Allah, not for any other reason. So when you're giving da'wah, make sure that you're sincere. And a lot of the time it actually comes across, whether you're just trying, are you just trying to put it on the person? Are you just trying to belittle them? Are you trying to make them look bad? Are you trying to show that you're better than that person? Or are you doing it seriously because you actually want that person to get close to Allah Azza wa Jal? If you remind yourself of that point straight away, you'll find your own self, your approach changes. Then the how, look, there's a lot of guidelines that we can put for the how, but the one pretext is every person is different. So you need to try and choose your words and your approach to people with what's going to be most beneficial for them. That doesn't mean that you don't have guidelines. We're going to speak about guidelines, inshallah. But sometimes you really need to be wise. You need to have basira. And even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this to say in the Quran, قُلْ هَذِي سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوَ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنْ اتَّبَعَنِي. Say, this is my way. I call to Allah with basira, which means with knowledge and insight. You know how to call. You know how to use the right way. Me and whoever follows me. So we're ordered to have that. Sometimes a person, for example, they're not the most educated people. Don't go and they use big words, big eloquent words, big, don't say that, that's a hyperbole. It's like, what? I don't even know what the hell a hyperbole is.
Sorry, what was that?
A hyperbole. an exaggeration. Okay, uh-huh. you don't want to go and speak to, because then it's going to feel like this guy is talking to me. And then there's other people, maybe they might be, very well educated. They might be, maybe a bit upper class. You don't want to go talk to them and say, listen, cuz, you got to be better, brah. You know what I'm saying? You also don't want to go to the other extreme. You need to know who you're talking to and how to speak to them.
As the famous saying is talk to the people according to the level of understanding.
100%. 100%. And if a person's on one particular level, speak to them there. And if a person on another particular level, speak to them that way. So somebody could be, as we said before, somebody, it might be, in your da'wah, it might not be verbalized. It might be through your actions. You're, for example, for parents, we know that children listen with their eyes. You got that one?
Parents listen with their eyes.
Children.
Children listen with their eyes.
Children listen with their eyes. Yani you could tell your son to pray 100 times a day, but if he doesn't see you praying, he's not going to pray. He's not going to do it. It's not going to stick with him.
You know, I've got a story that I'd like to mention.
تفضل.
A brother once accepted Islam, and I asked him, what made you interested in Islam initially? He said he had a Muslim neighbor who was astray, but he changed. He completely changed. And he's seen that his life completely changed, and he was so happy. And he said to me, I wanted what he has.
Mm.
So I seen how he changed and how happy he was when he made all these changes, and I wanted what he had. So 100%. That brother may not have even knew that his neighbor, non-Muslim neighbor, was viewing him and seeing him and seeing how he's conducts himself. And obviously a neighbor sees you regularly and seeing that his actions have changed, his talking may have changed, how he deals with others has have changed, how happy he was. He wanted what he has.
Yeah, 100%. I have a similar story between actually a father and a son, where the father wasn't that religious. And he's a nice man, good man, but he wasn't that religious. And he was always, you know, trying his best dunya-wise, working hard, working long, etc. But he's still not happy. He's still not, yani, you know, easy, financially. Things aren't easy in his life. And his son, subhanAllah, yani, sometimes, even if things are very hard, or they're meant to be very hard, Allah makes it very easy for his son. So the dad said, you know what? And the son, alhamdulillah, he was trying to be religious. So the father said, maybe this is because of the son's iman. Maybe I should try and be a bit more religious and things might actually work out, because that's what Allah tells me to do. Allah tells me, you know, be righteous and I'll make your affairs easy. For, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, through those actions, 100% through those actions, it could have a profound impact on another person. But of course, you know, there are, you know, putting sincerity and knowing who you're speaking to, and speak to them appropriately. There are some guidelines, okay? So the one of the first things, and this is one of the biggest mistakes people make, and we might speak about mistakes, inshallah, if we have time, but a person should speak to people in a easy, nice manner, okay? And this is like Allah told Musa alayhi salam and Harun to go and speak to Fir'aun. Fir'aun is like the worst of the worst. Okay, he's the person who's saying, I'm your Lord, the Most High. He lied multiple times. He said, you know, I'm going to, you know, Allah sent upon him curses. And listen, tell Allah to take this curse off me and I'll become Muslim. And he's lying. Like, Allah knows all this is going to happen. Allah knows that he's the worst of the worst. And his story is throughout the entire Quran. That's how bad he was, as a lesson for others. And still, when Allah told Musa and Harun to go and preach to him, said, say to him, qawlan layyina. Say to him, like, nice, easy, soft words. Because a person, you don't want to give a person a reason not to accept your da'wah, which are all the mistakes to make. So when you speak to someone, nice, good words. Okay. Also, choose an appropriate time. Sometimes when you talk to a person and you want to force them to listen to you, when they're, for example, trying to pack their kids into the car, they're not going to listen to you. Or sometimes you want to go give da'wah to a person in an environment which, like, yani, inside a haram place. These things aren't going to work. Or sometimes you bombard them with messages. Okay, these are not productive when it comes to give da'wah. Choose your time right. Choose your time right. It could be choosing the person to speak to that person. And sometimes, for example, we might know that with a lot of the older Arabs, for example, for you to go get like a young English speaking sheikh to go listen, to go, or English speaking da'i, to go speak to your, you know, really hardcore old school Arab father, the guy can't even talk Arabic, get him out of here.
That's what he would say, 100%.
You want him to come teach me about religion? I'll teach him about religion. So maybe you need to pick an appropriate person, whether it might be, you know, a short clip of an Arab sheikh from overseas, or even some of them are sheikh here. You know, you might invite them to speak to your father, or if they're able, mathalan. So it's something about choosing the right person to speak to that person. You know, so many small things people do in da'wah, which are, you know, mistakes. And a lot of it would really be solved. And this is the bigger how to give da'wah, is to look at how the Prophet ﷺ gave da'wah. And this is not a simple thing to do, because one beautiful thing about the Prophet ﷺ is he dealt with everyone as an individual. There was no like blanket solution a lot of time when the Prophet ﷺ dealt with others. So if you see with how he spoke to Umar, even before his Islam, you'd find that he was a bit more harsher with Umar, a bit more harsher in his words. Sometimes he'll grab him by the collar. Why? Because Umar is a rough person. He deals with that. Whereas if he deals with, like, you know, the younger teenagers, then he deals like Ibn Mas'ud or whatever, he uses softer words. If he deals with, you know, the big people of Quraysh, you know, the arrogant and the rich ones and the ones that live the affluent lifestyle, he speaks to them in a certain way. When the Prophet sent a message to the leader of the Romans, said, "Ya Azim al-Rum," you know, "Oh, the honorable one or the great one from the Romans." So he spoke to him in a certain way because these people are, in their eyes, deserving of that. When you speak to the poor people, there's a way to speak to them. So you know how to do it. And the Prophet used to do that.
So that's
at different times, he would speak to people in different ways, which was most appropriate and which bring about the best benefit in that situation.
Remind me of the famous Arabic proverb, لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ.
100%. And for every situation, there's a way to do it. But the general guideline is speak to them softly at the beginning, especially. Okay? And you do with everyone as an individual. And what's going to be more, I pray for them. Pick your words right. Pick the timing right. Pick the place right sometimes. Okay? Pick the place right where you speak to them. And don't belittle how your actions can influence a person.
Perfect, yeah.
In a good or a bad way.
You mentioned a few mistakes there. Any other mistakes you'd like to mention that are common mistakes made in Dawah?
Mistakes are probably more than the...
Maybe one or two. Running out of time. It's almost a shat adhan.
Yeah, so. Subhanallah. Time flies when you're having fun.
Sure are. Barakallah feek.
Allah hayyik. Some of the mistakes is getting angry and swearing at the person.
Come on.
Don't. Yeah, you're trying to give Dawah to a person and they're politely refusing your da'wah. It might be because of how passionate you are, but you end up saying, "What's wrong with you? Are you stupid? Do you want to go to the hellfire? You beep." Like, game over. They're going to laugh at you and just walk away and say, "You're trying to preach to me. Go preach to yourself, Habibi." Right? Another way of, another problem in giving da'wah is sometimes the way we speak to people, especially in open forums. Okay, so sometimes you might have a person who's got weak iman, but they want to inquire about goodness. So sometimes, like for example, there might be a sister and she's got a beautified photo of herself online. And sometimes she's asking a question, actually inquiring, and inshallah, maybe Allah will open her heart to get better. Give her da'wah, but then openly on the group, "Sister, you should go and get your photo off because your husband's a dayuf. Your husband's a cuckold." Just relax, Akhi, relax. What da'wah is, are people going to accept from you in those types of situations? Also, one big mistake in giving da'wah is sometimes you make things which are there is strong difference of opinion on, and you might have heard a specific opinion, but you can't hammer it down a person's throat. And your dad prays with his hands a certain way, and you don't know the sunnah way is to place your hands here. You can't go home to your dad and say, "Dad, you're praying wrong your whole life. Make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal. You're misguided. You're a mubtada." You need to know what to really stress on and what not to stress on. Another big mistake in da'wah is not focusing on the more important things. So sometimes...
The priorities.
This is called fiqh al-awliya. This is actually a science in Islam. How do you prioritize things? What to prioritize? Sometimes a woman doesn't pray and she doesn't wear hijab. And her family stresses on her wearing hijab. You should wear hijab and you should, turn to Allah Azza wa Jal and cover yourself and your reputation and our reputation. Hold on a second. The salah is much worse in leaving than not wearing hijab.
100%.
How about we focus on that girl praying 5 times a day? And the Prophet told you, Allah told you that salah moves you away and keeps you away from fahsha and munkar, evil.
Even in some cases, we begin even before that. Teach them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqidah, tawheed, yeah.
Definitely, this is, if you find that their salah is an issue, or even they might even have doubts about Islam, go to something more important, which is connecting their hearts to Allah and correcting their belief in Allah. And sometimes they have doubts, especially, this is the dangers of sometimes living in certain societies where people have, because of people are talking and there's interaction with people from other religions, etc., sometimes a person might have doubts about Islam. Those doubts are very easily refuted, and it's very easy for you to be certain about your deen. But the fact that they don't have knowledge or they're weak in iman means sometimes these doubts affect them. So you need to focus on these things and on her family. And it's funny and sad at the same time. One of the brothers, astaghfirullah, he doesn't even believe in Islam. And they're asking him, "Are you fasting in Ramadan?" He's telling you he doesn't believe in Islam. and you're worried about Ramadan, he's out of the fold of Islam, wa'ala billah. You need to focus, you need to get this person's heart attached to Allah and to correct his belief in Allah for him to be a Muslim, for you to even worry about everything else. And as we know, the main reason for any person to sin is a deficiency in their connection and their belief in Allah.
So weakness in iman.
100%. So if you can target that and fix that, things start to flow on after that. They start to want to pray, correct their belief, because they understand Allah is deserving of that prayer. And all goodness will come from Allah Azza wa Jal. So then I can pray properly. So I can get that khushu'. And that in turn will say, well, you know, I'm praying 5 times. I'm putting on the hijab. Why don't I just put on the hijab all the day? For example. So there's so much things a person could do. And you stay away from the mistakes. And you ask yourself, is this the way the Prophet would give da'wah or not? Is this the way the companions, Imam Shafi'i, you know, Imam Ahmad would give da'wah or not? And don't be a person who makes people run away from Islam. Be a person who calls people to Islam. And we need to understand, and we mentioned that briefly, that no matter how passionate and sincere you might be, if the action is wrong, if the action itself is wrong, then that doesn't justify the intent doesn't justify it. If you want to be sincere, you want to give da'wah, you're passionate about da'wah, do it the right way. It is important, it is virtuous, but it needs to be done
properly. Sadly, we've come to the end of tonight's program. But before we conclude, what are some of the sacrifices or some of the tests the da'i may face, the caller to Islam, the one giving da'wah may face?
Oh, very, very, very simple because of time. Be ready for a backlash. Some of the people are so shocked. Like, I'm calling people to the religion. They claim to be Muslims. I'm calling people just to implement your religion, and I'm getting a backlash. This is normal. These are the footsteps of our Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we said, you're following the footsteps of the Anbiya. This is what the Anbiya went through. They came to their people calling to the truth. Sometimes the people who have trusted them their whole lives, and the people they loved their whole lives. In the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam's case, his own family were the first ones to go against him. So this is nothing new. The people of desires do not like the truth because it goes against their desires. So just be patient and upright and know that your reward is with Allah, and that any test that you go through in da'wah is something that the prophets went through. So you're just following in their footsteps.
Jazakallah khair, Brother Naseem, for this great topic, which wallahi we can probably speak about all night. It's that great, it's that important, and it's that virtuous. One thing I'd like to talk about, I know you're actively involved in the upcoming tour by Sheikh Wael Ibrahim, which is presented by ASWJ Australia, which begins this Friday, titled Hope. So it will run from Friday the 22nd of September until Monday the 25th of September. 4 big, massive, important events. What else can you tell us about it?
This is very important. You've got the Friday night, which is tomorrow, which is in 2 days, at Reesby, Dark Secrets.
7:30 p.m. Yeah, after Aisha.
After Aisha. For males and females, it's open. Obviously, it's for free. It's at the masjid. The main reason that Sheikh Wael is coming is for the Saturday course. The Saturday course is about the dangers, effects, and the treatment for pornography addiction.
Massive
and
problem.
And this is a problem. Yani, a lot of people in society, including the Muslims, they think, oh, you know, it's not that much of a problem. No, it is a problem. And the people are so embarrassed that they don't even want to talk about it. Okay, because it is an embarrassing problem, and it leads to so much other issues like divorce and people going with other people, spending their money in haram places in order to fulfill their desires. You know, sickening acts between husband and wife, and it's really, really, really bad, and it leads to a lot of social problems and individual problems, even mental problems, etc. This is a very important course. Usually the people that have the problem aren't going to come because they're too embarrassed, but parents, teachers, professionals, community workers, mashayikh, du'at, you know, people that want general education, university students, this is very, very, very important.
So protecting our hearts and homes.
At the Brian Brown Theatre, it's $20 in Bankstown, the Bankstown Library. It's $20. It goes from 9:15 to 3:30 p.m. But it is very, very, very beneficial. And I honestly tell everyone, get there ASAP.
Yeah, please do. Event 3, Saturday night at Masjid As-Salam, Berkeley, good old Wollongong. Yeah, what's happening there?
Yeah, at the gong. So we've got the Deceit of Dunya. This is another open general lesson. Everyone is welcome, males, females. It's free as well. It's in the masjid. There is, please come. It's a beautiful drive down to Berkeley and beautiful masjid down
there. It is beautiful. The shout out to all our brothers and sisters down there. We have to get down there soon.
I was just there on Saturday night.
Excellent. What about event 4? Some counseling sessions, I heard.
Yeah, so these are free and private counseling sessions. Anything you have, whether it's, you know, pornography related, or it could be even marriage counseling. It could be you individually. You know, might have anxiety or depression, might have problems. You're more than welcome to take an appointment as well. Again, it's free. It will be in the Reesby Bankstown area. Inshallah, we haven't said exactly where it will be, but it will be on the Monday. the 25th, inshallah.
September, which is the start of the school holidays.
Yeah, it is school holidays.
Okay, and he may pop in and visit us here at Al Bayan Radio, inshallah.
Yeah, we are looking, inshallah, Monday night to bring him. So everyone stay tuned for that.
Excellent, excellent. And how do they get more info or how do they book?
They can go to the ASWJ Australia Facebook page. There's also a number for anyone that wants to register for the Saturday day course or the counselling. The number is 0424-675-729. The details, again, are up on the ASWJ Australia Facebook page for the one that couldn't get the number, but we'll repeat the number again anyway. 0424-675-729. And that's for the booking for the tickets for the Brian Brown Theatre, for the Saturday day course at Bankstown Library, and also for the counselling sessions on the Monday.
Jazakallah khair, Brother Naseem. It has been a very eventful night here on Al Bayan Live. Barakallah fikum for tuning in. Continue listening to us on our apps and on 107.9 FM until October 10. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.